Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
This morning, I walked in the sanctuary and Jonathan Goff just said something stunning to me. He looked at the platform and he said, "So, Pastor, I guess today's message is going to be intense." I thought that was pretty good. We are in our series this morning. We're in week four. Some of you are just now picking up on that, aren't you? It's okay. The bus comes. Sometimes it's slow, but it always comes. We're in the fourth week of developing a courageous heart. And wow, you know, 4 weeks ago when we were thinking about this series, how to develop a courageous heart, my mind automatically went to how can we be courageous enough to accomplish with our life what God's called us to accomplish? How can we be courageous enough to give when God's called us to give? How can we be courageous enough to make the right decisions when the pressures of life are challenging us to make different decisions? I never dreamed that it would take a new amount of courage just to send your kids to school or go to work because of just the sickness and the things going around. It can, if you're not careful, it can make you panic. It can make you paranoid. It can make you live a life in fear. But how many know that the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, right? And our theme verse for this whole series is found in Joshua chapter 1 that I hope will develop a little bit of courage in you this morning. Before I get to the message particularly, I want to just review our theme verse with you for this series. It says, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life." Listen to this. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." I want to ask you to say the rest of this sentence with me. "I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you'll lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." I want to review that first part where the scripture says, "As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you." How many know that God's with you today? And sometimes we say, "Well, God, I know you're with me, but the Lord didn't just tell Joshua, 'I'm with you.'" He said these words, "As I was with Moses, that's how I'm going to be with you." And so I was getting ready for today's message. I began to ask myself this question, "Well, Lord, exactly how were you with Moses?" How many know how he was with Moses? He was pretty evident in the life of Moses. I mean, from the beginning of Moses' life, you know, the king of Egypt was trying to kill the firstborn males, and as a matter of fact, all the males of the time. And so Moses' mother, she trusted Moses to the Lord as just a baby. She tried to hide him, but she couldn't hide him any longer. And so she did what? My four-year-old could tell you this, or actually she's five now. This is one of the stories she knows. She talks about how Moses was put in a basket, and his mom pushed him into the river just entrusting him with God. And what happened? God providentially caused that basket to flow downstream to where no one less than Pharaoh's daughter was taking a bath and saw that basket and fetched it out of the water and in return actually ended up paying Moses' mom to raise her own child. I thought, wow, the providence of God is all over that. And God says, "As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you." Did you know God's providential hand is working on your life this morning? Moses didn't live a whole lot longer until he began to have problems. He was kicked out of Egypt. He was living in the wilderness, and he was minding his own business one day when all of a sudden God appeared to him in a burning bush and gave him purpose and plans for his life. He told Moses, "Listen, take off your shoes, for the place you're standing is holy ground." And all of a sudden, when Moses thought he was all by himself, he found out in the middle of nowhere the presence of God was still with him. And can I tell you, when you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere, God's presence is still with you. And as he was with Moses, that's how he's going to be with you. And Moses was not a stranger to plagues or to sickness or disease. Matter of fact, at his words later on in his life, he would speak to the king of Egypt, and he would say, "Pharaoh, hey, at my word, this land is about to become flooded with grasshoppers. At my word, the river's going to turn to blood. At my word, locusts are going to come in and devour everything." And that's exactly what happened. Whatever Moses said, the land was devoured. It was filled with all kinds of insects and things at his word, except for the place where God's people were, right? Because God was keeping them. And as people saw that God was keeping his people, they said, man, God is with Moses. And God says, and as I was with Moses, that's how I'm going to be with you. How was God with Moses? Well, he led the people, about 1 million of them, out of the land of Egyptian bondage and slavery through the wilderness. And when they got into an impossible situation like the Red Sea that needed to be crossed, God parted the water and allowed them to walk over on dry ground. When they were about to thirst to death in the desert, the Lord told Moses, hey, why don't you just talk to that rock and water will start coming out of it. When they were about to starve to death, the Lord began to use Moses to send enough food to feed millions of people day after day after day. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their garments didn't wear out. God's provision was with them every single day of their life. And the Lord says, as I was with him, that's how I'm going to be with you. I hope you understand this morning, as God has been with other people, he will be with you. So what the word says? So be, what's that word? Courageous. Be strong. Don't fear. Don't live your life worried about what's going to happen, but understand that you serve a God that determines what's going to happen. Amen? So don't fear and don't be afraid. We serve a God who is with us. See, your life, here's one of the key sentences I want you to get today. Your life is sustained by who you have, not what you have. I want to say that again. Your life is sustained by who you have and not by what you have. But in times of crisis, and for a lot of people today, we're in a season of crisis, and we understand the crisis around us could get stronger. It could get worse looking from the outside in or the inside out. It could get worse. And when crisis is on the scene, a lot of people get mixed up. They think their hope is in what they have, and they forget who they have. I want to challenge you this morning, never forget who you have. As I was with Moses, God said, I will be with you. He's with you this morning. So we're going to look at the Word of God. We're walking through the life of Joshua. And we're going to read a story this morning. Jonathan was right. It is kind of intense. We're going to read about a guy who forgot that it's not about what I have, it's who I have. And whenever you think life is about what I have and not who I have, you're going to find yourself making decisions. See, what fear does is fear talks you into doing things you never do. Fear talks you into making compromises you would never make. It challenges you. It forces you. It leads you into activity that you know to be wrong, but you do it anyway because you feel like my only hope of survival is to give in to fear. And this morning we're going to read about a guy who made that mistake. The backstory is, last week we talked about the city of Jericho, right? They walked around it once a day for 7 days, except for on the seventh day. They walked around it 7 times, and God told them to shout, and they shouted, and the walls came down, and they all ran in, and great was the victory. And we celebrated how if you will trust God, that no matter how great the wall is in your life, God will bring it down for you. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? That there's nothing that comes against me that's stronger or taller or mightier than the God I serve. I'm thankful for that this morning. But there was a command that when you take Jericho, hands off the spoils. God said, I'm going to give it to you, but you can't touch anything. And they ran in, and one guy by the name of Achan, how many heard Achan's name before? One guy named Achan took what they were commanded not to take. And because of that, even though the power of God was with them, and with the power of God they had just destroyed a great city, they discovered that when you have sin in your life, when fear pushes you to compromise, you'll discover that you'll have failure in the places where you once had success. And what used to be easy now becomes difficult because you're hiding something in your tent. You're hiding something in your heart. And so that's where we pick up the scripture this morning, Joshua chapter 7. The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing on your face? Well, here's what they were doing on their face. Achan stole the possessions of Jericho, and they went forward to take the next city. And the next city was so small, the name of the city is Ai. How many can spell that? Right? The city was about the size of its name, Ai. And it was so small that Joshua said, you know, there's no need in the whole army going up there. Let's just send, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 people up there, and we'll just take that out. We'll be back in time for sunset. No big deal. And they went up, and they were defeated. The Bible says that in that battle, the people of God were defeated. And here's what the word says, that their hearts melted. And now Joshua hears this word from the Lord. Hey, stand up. What are you doing on your face? Israel has sinned. They violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They've taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They've lied. And they've put them in their own possessions. That's why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. Can I tell you, when God's on your side, you can stand against anything. But when there's sin in your heart, you can't stand against anything. Right? Our power is not in the strength that we have. It's in who we have with us. And Achan forgot his power was not in what he could get. It was with who was with him. So be careful when you treasure things on earth more than you treasure the blessings of God. So in verse number 19, I'm going to skip down some this morning. They figured out, the Lord led them to figure it out with Achan's family. So Joshua said in verse number 19 to Achan, my son, give glory to God, the God of Israel, and honor. Tell me, what is it you've done? Don't hide it from me. And Achan replied, it's true. I've sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I've done. When I saw in the plunder, a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and I took them. And they are hidden in the ground inside my tent, with the silver underneath. So Joshua sent messengers. They ran into the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from them, and they brought it to Joshua, and all the Israelites spread it out before the Lord. Then Joshua, together with Israel, took Achan, the silver, the robe, the gold bar, his son and his cattle, his donkey and his sheep, his tent, and all that he had into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will trouble you today. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I'm thankful that in times of crisis, we can have courage. I'm thankful that as you were with Moses, so you'll be with us. And Lord, I pray that this morning, unlike Achan, God, I pray we will treasure your presence more than we treasure the things. I pray that we'll treasure obeying your word more than we treasure responding out of fear to our current circumstances. So help me to speak the word this morning. Help us to hear the word you want us to hear. And we'll give you thanks for it. Everybody that reaps it, amen? So just in case you ever doubted, this scripture reminds us that God takes disobedience, which is the old-fashioned word for that is sin, right? That God takes sin very seriously. It doesn't really matter what I think is a big deal or what you think is a big deal. What matters is, does God say it's a big deal? And if God says it's a big deal, guess what? It's a big deal. And Achan thought, hey, I'm just going to take this little bit of silver. I'm going to take this little bit of material. I'm going to take this gold. I'm going to put it in my tent. And there's so much plunder. No one's going to notice that it's missing. No one will ever find out about it. But how many know that God sees everything? He sees everything. And Achan, he suffered from a particular fear. Heard someone on television a while ago describe it this way. They called it FOMO. You ever heard that phrase before? You know what FOMO means? The fear of missing out. You ever suffered from the fear of missing out? Achan was afraid, if I don't take this now, I'll never get anything like it. If I don't act on this opportunity that I see before me, even though it compromises what God said, even though it compromises the word of God, even though it compromises my conviction, if I don't act on this right now, I'm going to miss out on ever having this. Can I tell you, I've seen people do this not just with treasures. I've seen people do this with relationships. All the single people, listen up. Don't compromise just to get somebody for the moment when you know they are not the person who God's told you to be with, when they don't qualify. I hope every person in the room, every single person, whether you're a teenager or whether you're 55 or 65, you're single and you're looking. Listen to this. There should be some qualifications on the person you're looking at. I've discovered people whose attitude is anything goes usually experience a relationship where nothing stays. And Achan, he thinks, man, I know what God said, but I'm just going to slip this in my tent. And because of what he hid on the inside, it caused him to lose in every part of his life. See, the battle of Ai, that was a very small battle. It was a heart check for the people of God. Here's what I've discovered. When I start losing simple battles in my life that I should be easily winning, that's a heart check for me. I hope you're in the habit of checking your heart regularly. Because I've discovered if I don't check it myself, God's going to make sure he checks it for me. In times of crisis, there was a part of me that when I was praying this week and when the news started coming on the channel about Thursday and Friday about all this virus stuff going on, I began to pray. I said, Lord, don't you want me to just preach a message this Sunday that's all about comfort and all about confidence? I know it's kind of tied to courage, but Lord, don't I just need to just build and build and build the people up? And I began to go down that track, and I just heard the Holy Spirit say, no, in times of crisis, what people need more than ever is a right relationship with me. We need to examine what's in our tent more today than any day of our life. Amen? So the title of today's message, it took me a long time to get here, is simply this. What's in your tent? What's in your tent? Now, I know you biblical scholars in the room, you just can't get over the fact, I'll just tell you, I know. This is not what Achan's tent looked like. But his was being used this weekend, so we got that. But I want to tell you this morning, here's my sermon in a sentence. Your success is determined by the purity of your heart, not the size of your opposition. Ai was a small, inconsequential place. It was something that should have been easy for the people of God, but it became impossible because what was in their tent. And too many times, as believers, we fail over small things. We lose small battles that we should never lose. And it's not because what we're fighting is greater than us. It's because of what we have hidden in our tent. So I want to ask you, what's in your tent this morning? I want you to realize, point number one this morning, that sin sabotages the plan of God. Fear, somebody said, Pastor, how does fear and courage and sin, how is this all tied together? Because, listen, every time you and I sin, that sin is a result of fear. See, you sin because you're fearful that doing things God's way won't work out. So you keep what you should give, and you give what you should keep, and you compromise where you should stand, and you kneel, or you stand where you should be kneeling. We do all these things backwards and out of order. Our life gets out of order because we're afraid. We're afraid that, well, Lord, if I follow your word, let me go back to the dating. By the way, I had no intention of talking about dating this morning, so Merry Christmas to you if you're single this morning. But like Achan took the gold, he took the silver because he was convinced this is the only gold and silver in the promised land. And if I don't take it now, Ai may not have any, and the next city may not have any. Did you know that Jericho was the only city in the promised land where they were forbidden to take the spoils? In other words, they could have everything else they found. And some people are like, well, Pastor, if I trust God, if I say no to this person who I'm looking at, or this, say no to this person who's asking me out, I may never find the right person. Can I tell you, accepting that opportunity you shouldn't take is a guarantee not to find the right person. Amen. Right? And people, let me just tell you, without a radical intervention of God in their life, they don't change. So don't believe that, well, one day we're going to get married and all of a sudden they're going to love God and they're going to treat me better and they're going to stop doing this and start doing that. Do you know what happens when you get married? You get a tax break. But besides that, nothing magical happens. I'm sorry for all the romantics in the room. But you are still who you are. You still got the same addiction you had before you walked down the aisle. You still got the same temper problem, the same whatever problem it is you had when you got married. You go back with the same problems. Can some of the married people say amen? Amen. Right? I didn't put the seat down before we got married. And, you know, it's just... Sorry. But we fail over small things when we make small compromises. It's not the forces on the outside that we have to watch out as much as it is the forces on the inside. It's what are we hiding in our tent? See, Psalms chapter 66 says this, if I've harbored sin in my heart, the sovereign master would not have listened to me. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Did you hear what the Word of God is saying? That harboring sin sabotages the work that God wants to do. Why are the children of God in the promised land to begin with? Because God wants to give it to them. Why are they going to fight against Ai? Because God wants to give it to them. But can you understand this morning, what you and I harbor in our tent is keeping God from giving us what he wants to give us. I wonder what in my life, I'm not going to talk about you because you're holier than I am, but I wonder what good thing is God wanting to give me, but I'm putting a roadblock up from God delivering it to me because of what I hide in my tent. So what's in your tent this morning? I began researching for this message several weeks ago, and I began reading this. There's actually a handbook from the 1940s printed by the CIA. I'm not sure why it's on the internet, but it is. There's this book online published by the CIA in 1940s on the skill of sabotaging. So in case there's an invading army and you want to throw off their regime, they have this handbook on how you can sabotage the invading army. And it was small things like let the air out of the tire, failure to clean the place you work, drain the gasoline, hide the keys, take equipment that is necessary and just put it in the wrong spot so they can't find it. A lot of little things. And the writer of the book at the conclusion said, these things are so small that people would disregard them as not important. But when they pile up and in the right moment, it makes an army that is ready for victory suffer loss because of small sabotages. Can I tell you, the enemy of your soul is trying to get you to make small compromises. And the way he does it is getting you to fear where you should express faith. So beware what's in your tent. Never treasure, point number two this morning, never treasure things more than you treasure the blessing of God. Listen to what Achan said. I saw the plunder. I coveted them. And I took them. Did you notice when Joshua begins asking, Achan didn't say, well, Josh, I didn't know I was not supposed to do that. No, he knew. But he took them anyway. And Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 6. You could probably say this with me. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And the values we choose testify where our heart is. One person said, what I spent, I lost. What I saved, I left. But what I gave, I still have. We got to learn to treasure the things of God more than we treasure the things of this world. The success of our life is not dependent on how great the opposition of our life. Our success is based on the purity of our heart. And so we got to keep choosing the values of God over the treasures of this world. That's why Psalm chapter 111 says, hallelujah, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his command. See, when I value the word of God more than I value things, what happens is God begins to delight in my life and the small things, the battles of my life that I've been losing, like AI, all of a sudden I begin to win, not because I've changed who I am, but because my heart's right with God. Now he can work through my life. How many want God to work through your life? Some of you in this room, you've said, oh, I want God to do great things with me. And yet you got things in your tent that God can't bless. As long as you're harboring bitterness and unforgiveness, you're going to keep losing the battle of AI. As long as you keep excusing what God's told you to deal with, you're going to keep losing the battle of AI. That some of you have been losing the same battle over and over and over and over again. And it's not because you can't beat what you're facing. It's not because your AI is so great or so fortified. What's causing you to lose the battle over and over again is because God's trying to deal with something that's in your tent this morning. And I just want to challenge you to surrender it to him. Remember that sin never stays buried. See, here's the thing. What you bury in your tent will someday come out. How many know there's no such thing as a secret nowadays? Have you heard of WikiLeaks? Right? I mean, everything is eventually going to come out. I mean, Apple sells these phones that a lot of us carry in our pockets. And one of their greatest advertisements for the iPhone is its security. Right? It's supposedly unhackable. I mean, you may have read in articles like I have where the U.S. government has actually tried to bargain with Apple and try to get them to create a backdoor into some of their programming because there's bad guys who our government knows if we could just get in their certain account on their iPhone, we could know everything they're planning. And Apple has refused to give that information. They said, no, we're not going to do it. We value security. And I appreciate that, but I'm just convinced that someday an eighth grader is going to hack what all these professional technoids can't do. You just kind of got that feeling, right? It's happened before. And yet we feel like Achan, well, I'm just going to do this little thing and no one's going to notice and it's not going to hurt anybody and God doesn't, it's such a small thing. And we just put it in our tent and but how many know that God knows? And the saddest thing about this, you know, Jesus said it like this in Luke chapter 8. There's nothing hidden that won't be revealed. And there's nothing concealed that will not be known and illuminated. So what should our response to that information be? Knowing that what I'm hiding in my heart, well, you're hiding in your tent, knowing that that is going to be front page news at some point. How should I respond today in my life? I'll tell you how we should respond. 1 John reminds us that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from everything that's not right. Psalm chapter 32 says, then I acknowledge my sin to you, Lord, and you did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Listen to this. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Why would we want to hide what God's wanting to forgive? Why would we want to lose? Why would you and I want to lose another battle? Why would we want to spend another day in fear that what I've done is going to come out? or what I've done is going to cost me, when God has given us an open invitation to bring what is hidden and lay it before Him and let Him forgive us today. And we need to do that because sin always has a ripple effect. Achan took what didn't belong to him, what God told him not to take. But did you notice it affected more than just Achan? You know, the New Testament talks about we are the body of Christ. And every one of us is a part of it. And we can't say to one another that we're not needed or we're not valuable, or you're not important. The Bible says we're all, the moment you gave your life to Jesus, you automatically became grafted into something so awesome and powerful. You are a member of the body of Christ. Thankful for that. And Achan is sort of the body of Christ illustrated in the Old Testament, that what one person does affects someone else. So the next time someone begins to hold you accountable and you tell that other believer, well, that's my business and not yours. Because your choices always affect more than you. Sin never stays put. It is never just about me. It always affects other people. And some of you have read this scripture. I've had this conversation with other people before. Well, I don't understand how a God who is so good could take Achan's sin, which he committed, and not just punish Achan, but he punished his entire family. That's not fair. Do you understand that when I sin, it doesn't just affect me? It affects this pretty little girl right down here. It affects my two kids. Achan's sin affecting more than him, his, and so does my life, and so does yours. And so we got to be willing to say, Lord, whatever's in my tent, understand it's not just going to cost me, it's going to cost my family, it's going to cost the body of Christ. So Lord, whatever it is, I just give it to you. And believe, here's the last thing this morning. Believe that God never keeps his best from you. How are you going to move from a person of fear to a person of courage? How am I going to stop compromising out of fear of missing out on something to actually trusting God that says, Lord, even though this looks like my chance, I'm not going to take it. Do you remember a guy in the Bible named David? Do you remember he was in a cave one day and Saul, the king, who was, you know, supposed to be retiring so David could take over. Instead, Saul had been trying to kill David. And Saul comes into the cave, and David's in the cave hiding from him, and Saul has his backside to him, and everyone around David is saying, here's your chance. Here's your chance. God is putting, right, this is your chance to get what you deserve. David refused. He was convinced he didn't have to compromise the word of God to get the blessing of God. And neither do you. You got to believe that if God has given me a command, if I will obey it, me obeying God's command is what's going to bring God's best into my life. You got to believe that if there's a command that looks like it's restricting, it looks like it is keeping me away from something that I really desire, you've got to believe that if I will obey God despite what I understand on the other side of me saying no to this, I'm actually saying yes to the best gift of God in my life today. Amen? Joshua said, why have you brought all this trouble on us today? And it's because Achan didn't trust God to bring the best gifts to his life. Let me close this way. Megan, Travis, whoever's come tonight, this morning, if you'll come. Let me read a few scriptures to you about this. James says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. In other words, if it's a good gift, it's going to come through obedience to God, not going around his word or his command. Matthew chapter 7 says, if you know, of you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask of him? And Psalms 85 says, the Lord will indeed provide what is good. And so if it's good, it's going to come from God. The determining element of success in my life is not what I have. It's not what I can get my hands on. It's who I have with me. And the only thing that can hinder who is with me from giving me success and giving you success, the only thing that can hinder that is the sin we harbor in our heart. So this morning, I want to ask you to bow your heads all across this room. I want to ask you, what's in your tent today? Have you been sabotaging your own life by small compromises? Have you been keeping what you should be giving? Have you been responding out of fear instead of responding out of faith? Remember, everything that's buried is going to come up. I want to challenge you, during this time of crisis, determine that we will be people who honor God through it. Make sure that what you're harboring in your heart, make sure what you're keeping in your tent speaks of faith in God, not fear of missing out. Our lives do have a ripple effect. Achan showed us that in the most negative way. But I want to challenge you this morning. Let's be people that don't make a splash of fear. Let's make splashes of faith. Let's be people who are people of courage. Not courageous because of who we are or what we have, but courageous because of who is with us and because we know our life is right with him. Don't let the fear around you drive you to compromise. Be courageous. Be strong. Because as God was with Moses, he desires to show himself just as present in your life this morning. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Simple question, what's in your tent this morning? What's the condition of your heart? Is it filled with fear, or is it fear, or is it filled with faith? Is it filled with regret of choices you made against God's word? Or is it filled with confidence, knowing that God's going to keep his word because you've been striving your very best to live it out and apply it to your life? You say, Pastor, what's in my tent today, what's in my heart today is evidence of a lack of trust in God. You know that. It's fear. It's regret. Maybe you've been trying to compartmentalize your life and there's certain parts you just haven't surrendered to him and you've been losing at life. You've been losing battles you should be winning because you've harbored something in your heart. And today the Lord's just speaking to you real loudly. There's something in your heart today you just need to yield to Jesus. I'm not going to call you down front or embarrass you, but I do want to know just to pray for you this morning, include you in a closing prayer. If that's you, would you just lift your hand real quick? That's me, Pastor. Pray for me. Amen. 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 Can we stand together this morning? Your success is not dependent on what you have. It's dependent on who you have with you. And as a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's on your side. As he was with Moses, that's how he wants to be with you. And if there's something in your tent this morning, lift your hand here, you didn't, that you know what, this activity, this attitude in my heart this substance in my life, I know it's been tied in the hands of God and what he wants to do in me. God is so ready this morning to wipe the slate clean. He is so ready this morning to move you from being in the category of struggling and failing to the category of victory this morning. If you'll just yield to him what's in your tent. So I want to pray for this morning if you lifted your hand. And the rest of us, if you didn't lift your hand, would you do what I find myself becoming an expert out of necessity over and over again? Just ask God to search us and try us one more time. And let's commit ourselves so that in times of crisis, we're going to develop a spirit and a heart of courage, because fear is being cast down by the faith we have in Jesus Christ. Because it's not about what we have, it's about what we have and who we have with us this morning. Father, I thank you for every person within the sound of my voice today. I'm thankful that you've called them, commissioned them, and you're about to enable them to be more than an overcomer by the power they have in you. And God, I'm thankful for that stuff in our tent, that stuff in our heart that's been causing us to trip and stumble. Because, Lord, your word says that we can lay those things aside this morning and we can run with confidence and we can run with courage. So today, we submit those fears to you. We submit bitterness to you. We submit, Lord, those entanglements that we've gone back to over and over again. We just submit all of that to you. We confess it before you today. And we say, Lord, forgive us, cleanse us, and empower us to run this race with confidence. And empower us to run this race with courage. Because as you were with Moses, we know you will be with us. So God, I pray the mighty presence of God be with us, be with this congregation. God, I pray where there has been regret and shame in this moment, there will be confidence and courage about the presence of God working in us and through us today.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.